Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. For the next hour, you're going to hear real talk from real users about how they've been set free from addiction. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope is the program director of Fairhaven House and the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Good evening to our radio listeners. Welcome to There Is Hope. There Is Hope is a live talk show that airs every Saturday at 7 p.m. We discuss the topics of addiction and recovery. We want you to know there is hope. You can overcome addictions. You can live a victorious life. This show is all about sharing concepts that will help you to walk in recovery, sharing stories of those who have been set free from addictions, and providing an opportunity for listeners to call in and share their insights or questions. Yes, this is a call-in show. It's live, so give us a call. Anytime in the show, you can give us a call. No matter what the topic is we're talking about, if you have something that's more important that you want to talk about, we're more than willing to go in that direction. If you feel uncomfortable using your name, you can go ahead and use an alias name. It really doesn't matter what your name is. What matters is that you give us a call. And we really do want to hear from you. I want to let you know that when you call, you can make the difference for somebody else's life that may be listening. So our toll-free number is 1-800-955-8200. The number again is 1-800-955-8200. In the Seattle area, the phone number is 206-374-8800. That local number is 206-374-8800. Before we begin tonight's show, I want to encourage you to check out our website. If you don't know who There Is Hope is, go to our website, thereishoperadio.org. Again, you can go to thereishoperadio.org, and what you will find is there's a discussion forum, blog, insights and recovery, and much more. So be sure and check out thereishoperadio.org. Well, let's get started tonight. We're supposed to have Gideon. He's a gentleman that's in his 70s on the show, but it didn't work out for him because he was moving. And so what we're going to do is have Gideon on the show on June 19th. So those who is hoping to hear Gideon, he'll be speaking on June 19th. And he's going to be sharing his experience of being sexually abused, addictions, and his current life of sharing hope to the hopeless. You will not want to miss that show. Well, tonight, my wife Carmen and I are going to be talking about the warning signs of potential relapse. Now, some of you listening, recovery, addictions, that may be new to you, may not even understand the concept of relapse, so let me explain that to you. Relapse is actually, in regards to addiction, is when a person who's been walking abstinence goes back to their addiction. They may go back into their addiction only for a moment or a period of time. So, for example, if somebody's an alcoholic and we say they relapse, but that means that alcoholic went and had a drink. In the concept of relapse and recovery and addiction, one drink is a relapse. Because the concept for an addict, an alcoholic, somebody that has a gambling addiction, is that for those different types of addictions, is that you can't go back to it. You can't go and play poker one time and think that you're not going to go back into playing poker all the time. So again, a relapse can be for one moment or period of time. Now, here's what some say in the midst of recovery from addictions, that individuals are going to relapse at some point in time. So there's the concept that some people have to relapse in order for them to be able to ultimately get the victory over their addiction. And what they mean is that some people need to relapse because then it's a reminder of what type of addictive behavior, the type of lifestyle they were living in the past. And so when they relapse, they decide that they don't want to use again, they don't want to gamble again, they don't want to binge again, whatever it may be. Now, this is certainly true for some addicts, that the reality is for some addicts that they're going to have to make the choice to not use, and the way they make that choice is they fall back into the mess, the pit all over again. They come to their senses and they say, man, I never want to go that direction again. But here's what we believe. We believe that you do not have to relapse. We believe that if you're trusting in God as your higher power, that he will give you the ability to not relapse and that you don't have to go back into that old life all over again. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God will give you a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. What that verse is saying, that all of us have some type of temptation in life, that temptation is common to all of us, And that the key is that God will give us a way out of our temptation. He will give us a way of escape. So tonight, when we're talking about warning signs to let you know aware of, to be aware of that could help you to not relapse, we want you to know that there is a way out. Over the years, I noticed that we had a caller call in. Can you see if you can get that caller back in line? I don't know if you can or not. If you're a caller listening in, I noticed that you're on the line. So if you want to call back in, go ahead and call back in, and we will take your call. Well, tonight, Carmen and I, again, would be talking about relapse prevention. Over the years, Carmen and I have worked with many individuals who've had a variety of addictions. We have seen individuals set free. Is that right, Carmen? We've seen people set free?
Yeah, there were some that were really set free.
But the reality is that many do not get set free. That what happens is that they relapse over and over and over again. And what we want to do tonight is to just to give some key points that will help you, maybe if you're listening and you have an addiction, to help you to know that there is a way of escape. There's a way to not relapse. There's a way to not go back into your addiction. But you have to change some of the mindsets. You have to change some of the ways that you're thinking. Maybe you're not the person that's listening. You may not be the addict, but you may have a loved one that has an addiction. We want to give you some signs here that if you see this happening to your loved one, that maybe there's something that you can do to help prevent them from relapsing. Before we really cover one of the warning signs that we're going to be talking about of relapse, I should make something else clear, is that we're not saying that every person who has these warning signs their life is going to relapse, but what we are saying is that if there's certain things that you do in your life, there's a good chance you're going to relapse. If you don't relapse, you may be walking what's called the dry drunk syndrome. And what that is that's an individual who is not actively in their addiction, but they live their life as if they are in addiction. So it's like the alcoholic who isn't drinking, but he acts like a person who is drinking. So when we share these warning signs, again, we're not saying that if you have these things that are taking place in your life, if you have these kind of mindsets, that you're going to relapse. But what we're saying is there is the potential to relapse. So let's go ahead and get started here. The first thing that we want to talk about is denial. One of the main warning signs of a potential relapse is when an ex-addict starts living a life of denial. What we mean by denial is they're denying they have some problems. They may be denying they have wrong attitudes or mindsets. They may be denying they have cravings. Or they're denying that they show signs that someone is about to relapse. And the bottom line is, unless you live a life of honesty, you will live a life of denial. And most likely, if you don't relapse, you're going to live the life as an addict, even if you're not actively using. So I want to give you some examples. One of the first examples I want to give you would be when an ex-addict will say, and I say ex-addict, I'm going to be talking about ex-addicts because I'm talking about individuals who are not actively using, and I believe if you're not actively using, that you're no longer an addict while you're not using. Now, I know AA and others don't believe that. They believe once an addict, always an addict. But we believe God can set individuals free. And we believe if you're living the life of victory, that at that point in time, that we personally believe you shouldn't be going around saying I'm an addict. You should be saying that either I'm a recovering addict or I'm a recovered addict and think more positive about your recovery. So again, let's talk about denial and the concept of money as a trigger. For many alcoholics, drug addicts, gambling addicts, any compulsive buying addicts, is that what can happen with them is if they have excessive money that's accessible to them, that what can happen is that they will go back into their addiction. And denial would be when they say, no, I don't need to worry about money. Money's not a trigger to me. I'm fine. I can have as much money as I want. Now, maybe some individuals can, but most addicts, when they have money in their pocket, that is such a strong temptation to go out and to use. So one of the things that addicts will say all the time as we work with them, as we counsel with them, we'll say, you know, right now you're getting $300 a month. You're probably not going to go out there and use, but when you start earning $2,000 a month, there's a good chance that you're going to take that $2,000 a month, and if you're not working on a recovery program, you could go out there and use. So why don't you get a payee? What a payee is an individual that takes the person's funds and then turns around and only issues them the money as they need it for expenses. And so that's actually something that is a safety for a recovering person that's in addiction, is that they can turn around and trust somebody else to help them to manage their money, give them wisdom and insight in the midst of that. But what I want to share is, actually I'm going to have Carmi share this, is we have a story of an individual, I'm going to call him Jim. And Jim was an individual who he only had a, well, I think it was probably about $600, something like that he was having coming in a month. But for him, if he had $100 a month, that was enough for him to go out and use. And so he had asked me to watch over his money for him and that we would turn around and be his payee. So, Carmi, why don't you share the story of what happened with Jim and that concept of denial that worked against him?
I still can remember fresh in my mind when we were ministering in the streets of Capitol Hill, and we had, we'll call him Jim. And one day he asked my husband Rich to be the payee, you know, of his check. And so when we agreed, of course, so that we can manage the funds for him. So when the time came that the check was there, so he said, okay, here's the check. And so we're going to disburse to you as the need arises or whatever, you know, you need for the week. And then we'll just issue again, you know, some funds as, you know, we move on. But at that point, you know, he wanted the whole check right away. He said, no, you know, I can manage my funds and I'm mature enough. I'm an adult now, so I don't need actually any payee in my life. So I need the whole check right now. So we explained to him that, you know, no, you don't need, because experience, you know, tells us that, in you know, in the past that you always, you know, get back to your drugs whenever you have some money, you know, in your hand. Sorry. So, but to make the story short, so we ended up like giving to him the whole check because he was actually, you know, he didn't want to accept just partial, you know, of the funds. So, anyways, we gave all of it to him, and I said, "No, I will not buy drugs with this. I'll just use this for something else." So, okay, so we agreed, and then at that point, it was around a few days from that would be their birthday. You know, their birthdays were close with my husband. So we told him, Jim, you know, over the weekend, we're going to prepare some dinner. We'll have some turkey dinner together and we'll celebrate your birthday together with Rich. So he agreed, you know, and say, okay, come over to the house and around probably 5 o'clock. But the weekend came, Saturday came. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. He wasn't in the house, so everything was prepared. You know, the table was set, and so we waited. An hour later, 6 o'clock. Still, he wasn't there. 7 o'clock came, and Jim wasn't there either. So then, you know, we thought, well, he did something because he had the money with him. So, anyways, we heard back from him a few months later. And he told us that as soon as he got his check, you know, he cashed it and went into a motel, took a prostitute with him, and that lady took the whole cash from his pocket. Actually, he went for a shower, and then as he came out of the shower, you know, his wallet was empty already, and the lady took off. So that was his story. And
I want to jump in there because there's another part of his story is because what happened after that is he got into a state of using, because the reality is addicts don't have to have money. They always find a way to get some money, or they always got somebody that, quote, is a friend that's going to give them money. So he went back into using again. He was a heroin addict, so he went back to the heroin. And what happened is he started getting paranoid. And all kinds of things was going on in his life. He ended up running across the I-5 freeway. He was being chased by the police. He thought there was demons chasing him. And he wound up in a psych ward in Harborview Hospital. So, no, he didn't use that money originally to be able to spend on drugs. He used it on something else, a prostitute who stole that money from him. But, of course, what happens is then he has shame. He has guilt. He's embarrassed. He don't know what to do. And ultimately, bottom line is, we didn't see him for three, four months. And here's what I want to go back to. Do you understand the concept of denial when you hear that story? Here's the reality. He was living in denial. I can handle my money. I'm doing better than I've ever done. I'll be okay. Now, you got to remember, he told us he wants us to handle his money. What changed? We didn't change. There's only one thing that changed, and that was Jim had changed. And what happened? He started getting the cravings. He started getting the desire. And instead of being just honest and saying, hey, I have some cravings, I have some desire, you know what, I'm afraid that I'm going to use this money to use, or, you know, I'm going to use this money for a prostitute. Instead of sharing that with us, he just acted as if he was in denial and did not believe that there's going to be any problem with him. And, of course, he relapses. So that's one of the key things that can happen to individuals, is that they'll walk in a state of denial. And here's what happens that goes on with that, is then it's hard to stop. Once you get in that denial, you deny one thing, you deny another thing, you're not honest, and the next thing you know, you become deceived yourself. And so what's your story? Are you walking in denial even right now? You say, oh, no, that's not me. I can handle my money. I got $3,000 that I make every month, and I'm fine. Well, maybe you are. Maybe you are able to handle your money. But if you have a small, still voice that's saying to you, I don't know, it's not a good idea, maybe you should get some help, I'm going to encourage you to listen to that small, still voice. So how about sharing your story with us? Maybe you've relapsed and you've learned your lesson and you want to share something from that relapse. Maybe you're struggling with addiction right now and you just need a word of hope, that you just need to get some guidance or counsel. Whatever it may be, how about giving us a call? The phone number is 1-800-955-8200. That number again is 1-800-955-8200. In the Seattle area, the phone number is 206-374-8800. That local number is 206-374-8800. If you're from the Captain Phil chat room, if you're listening, I know you guys listen each week, how about one of you giving us a call? We'd appreciate if you give us a call. When we come back from the break, we're going to take your phone calls, and we're going to talk about how things could have been different for Jim. So stay on the listening to us, and hopefully you'll give us a call. Thank you.
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover after this on 820 AM KGNW. The Center has offered hope and healing for over 26 years. Discover freedom from anxiety and depression, from binge eating and other food struggles. Find peace in place of fear. Have a life without secret addictions. The Center features individualized whole person care. Click on aplaceofhope.com for more information, or for a no-cost consultation, call the center toll-free, 888-771-5166. That's 888-771-5166.
Are you looking for a way out of your addiction? Are you ready for Jesus to be your higher power? Do you need deliverance from alcohol and drugs? Then Victory Life Center Church in Kent, Washington may be the answer you've been looking for. Victory Life Center believes in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to set people free. Yes, you can be set free from the bondage of addiction. For more information on Victory Life Center, call 253-867-0852. That's 253-867-0852. Or go to the website, blifecenter.org. That web address again is blifecenter.org. God loves you, and He will empower you to be set free. Call now, 253-867-0852.
Are you looking for a clean and sober living arrangement without the drama? How about clean and sober housing that actually does not have alcohol and drugs? You know what we mean. Can you use some help in your recovery? A place where people care about you more than just collecting rent payments? If so, Fairhaven House may be the place for you. Fairhaven House is a faith-based, clean and sober housing and discipleship program. Check them out at fairhavenhouse.info. That's fairhavenhouse.info.
Welcome back to There Is Hope. If you just tuned in, we're a live talk show that airs each Saturday at 7 p.m. In our last segment, you probably know we're a live talk show, as I'm stumbling all over the place. Hopefully I could get a little bit more on track here this time around, because my addiction is I have to be perfect, and I'm feeling very badly right now. I'm not as perfect as I expect myself to be. But all joking aside, you know, because again, I'm the most vulnerable talk show host there is in all of Seattle, so it's time to be real. Anyways, we're a talk show that covers addiction and recovery, and we wanted to let you know there's hope for those who struggle with addiction. In our last segment, we were talking about the fact of denial and how you can find yourself going into relapse if you're walking in denial. We have somebody on the line. We have a Todd that's on the line. He's from Bellevue, and Todd says he has an answer to how you can beat an addiction. Are you there, Todd?
Yeah, hi, Rich and Carmi. Thanks for sharing all this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, what I have found when I struggled with any kind of bondage sin, and I have, and you know, I've relapsed, what I have found is that it's essential to confess my sin, and that has to almost always happen with another person to really be effective, at least for me. And I believe it's scriptural. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." We all need people to be praying for us. And there's something that happens when we confess our sin and then we repent of it and we turn away from it. And to do that with a one-on-one relationship, or even better yet, in a small group, and to be in those groups on a regular basis so you can do that and so that others can do the same when they're struggling, that is really a powerful, perhaps the most powerful weapon that we can have besides the Word of God itself when it comes to any kind of bondage sin.
Well, you know, it's funny you shared that, because I'm going to be talking about the way of escape, what could have been the way of escape for Jim, and one of the things for the way of escape is the fact of, what if he would have, when he was being tempted, when he was thinking about what he's going to do with that money, what if he could have just confessed that to us? You know, if he would have just said, "Hey, you know, Rich and Carmen, you know what? I mean, he knows us. He knows our love for him and the commitment we made to him many times. And if he would have just said, you know what, I'm really struggling right now. I feel tempted to go out and use this money for, you know, for sex or whatever it may be. I wonder what would have happened." I don't think he probably would have been in the mental ward. Carmen, you have something you want to share?
Thank you, Todd, for sharing that. It's really interesting, you know, when you say confess your sins one to another, because that shows that your heart, you know, you're humble enough, you know, to admit that. And humility, you know, God exalts the humble. You know, he gives grace to the humble. And so one thing about, you know, our experience in ministry in the streets is that when pride, you know, comes into a recovering addict, or, you know, those that are walking even in sobriety, but once they become proud, then they you know, they start falling back.
Or fearful, too. Fear is another one. Fear and shame, and they kind of go together. And I think it's pride, fear, and shame. Those are the things that seem to keep us from confessing. But when we think it through, when we do finally hit rock bottom, what do we do when that happens?
Yeah.
We confess and we repent. We have to.
Right, right.
And so why not do it earlier?
Well, that's part of what I say is, where's your bottom? Because you hear this saying all the time, and when it comes to addiction recovery, well, a person has to hit their bottom. Well, the key is you get to choose your bottom. You can choose the bottom to be in the pit of pits and be in a psych ward, or your bottom can be, I just got to be humble enough to confess to Carmi and Rich. So Jim had a choice where his bottom was going to be. He chose, because of not being humble and because of not being willing just to confess where he's at, that his bottom had to be ultimately in a psych ward.
Yeah, and this is not theoretical. I mean, I was in a small group myself this last week with a group of men. There's, I think, six of us were there the other night this past week. I was struggling with something, and I confessed. I said, "Hey, I'm dealing with this."
And here's the reality. We're all messed up.
Yeah.
We're all messed up. You don't have to be an addict to be messed up. You can just be a human being on this earth, we're messed up.
Yeah, and I can testify that James 5:16 is true. Immediately, as soon as I started doing that, I experienced healing. I mean, I experienced, like, hey, I can't wait to get out and live my life, you know. Had I not done that, I think I probably would have left the meeting kind of, oh, no, here we go, another week before we meet again.
Right, right. And there's another thing with that is, obviously, when you confess, we're not Catholics, so we don't believe you have to go to a priest to confess. No. What we believe is that you can share that with just you and God, but there is something about going to another individual that you know loves you, that cares for you, because there's another thing. When you confess, they're not going to condemn you and shame you, which is what the devil wants to do, is condemn you and shame you. They're going to love on you. They're going to pray for you. If you don't have that kind of a person, but don't be confessing to somebody that's going to turn around and rip you apart. Find somebody that you have in your life that you can share with them what's going on, and that you know that they're going to be people there that love you and care for you.
And you know, Rich, you brought up a good point. I really think it has to start really with our time alone with God. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like every little thing we do, we confess it to a person. That's not practical. But there definitely is a time to do that when we know we have to do that. But But really the most important part about confession is that time alone with God, and I think for most of us that's early in the morning before we even get going with doing anything. We spend that time with God in prayer and in the Word and meditation and memorization, things like that, and it's just us and God. And we have to be confessing sin during those times.
Right, exactly. Well, Todd, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you would like to call in yourself, you can give us a call at 1-800-955-8200. That number again is 1-800-955-8200. In the Seattle area, the phone number is 206-374-8800. That local number is 206-374-8800. What about for yourself? What's helped you? If you've been walking in denial, what helps you to get out of that denial? Go ahead and give us a call and share. Well, there's another area that I feel that individuals will, if they're not careful, they will relapse, and that's the concept of not having a respect and gratitude. That many times those who have lived with addictions, they've just lived a lifestyle where they really don't have a concept of what gratitude is and what it means to respect others. And so, again, another warning sign that we would say is a warning sign for a person that might relapse is a person who lacks respect or gratitude. Now, here's what happens. When an ex-addict does not show respect or gratitude to those who are willing to make sacrifices to help them, they're indirectly showing disrespect to God himself. You say, why is that? Well, it's because God is working through that person that's trying to help them. Think about it. For myself, I'm an individual who, without Jesus in my life, I'm very self-centered. I really could care less about another human being. That's who I was before I accepted Christ into my life. After I accept Jesus in my life, I've had to learn how to love people. And through the years, God has just put me in a situation where either I'm going to love people or hate them. And when you work with addicts and many, many, many times, you don't get respect no matter what you do. They don't have gratitude. You either have a heart that you still love those individuals or you'll hate them. And God's worked in my heart to love them. But my whole point is the reason I'm able to love them is because God is working in me to show his love. So if I'm working with an individual and I'm trying to help them and they don't show an attitude of gratitude, then what happens, they're not really doing it against me. They're doing it against the very God who's there to help them. And here's what happens. When you have a lack of gratitude, almost for sure you're going to burn bridges with those who are trying to help you. You're going to get even a mindset in your head that somehow those people that are there to help you, they're out to harm you. And what happens is that deception comes along. Here's what I believe. If you do not have a life where you are just appreciative of those who are working with you, you're appreciative of the counselor that may be in your life, the sponsor from AA that may be in your life, whoever that may be, those people, family members who have over and over again have tried to help you. If you don't have an attitude of gratitude, if you have a lack of respect for them, I can tell you that there's a danger of going into addiction again. Now, I want Carmi, I want you to share some, just to help some people to understand when we talk about lack of respect and lack of gratitude. Can you share some, just some concepts or stories that you can think of to show what we're talking about?
Another story that I can think of right now is the story of, we'll call him Ben. Again, this is way back when we were still ministering on the streets of Capitol Hill. So we took Ben literally out of the gutter. He was a drunk. I don't know, was he also an addict? But I know basically...
He was an addict, but he was also mainly an alcoholic.
Yeah, because I was the one who literally, you know, picked him up from the gutter, and he was so drunk at that point. So since then, we started ministering to him, helping him in his spiritual needs, physical needs, and, you know, up to the point of, like, cooking for him, helping him wash his clothes in our studio apartment and all these kinds of stuff. So, in short, he was growing in the Lord slowly, you know, slowly and slowly over some months. And then he was even going through the so-called School of Leaders in church, which is kind of like a discipleship class. And so he was going for it, and he was growing spiritually in the Lord, as I said.
Yeah, I want to say how far he had grown, because just remember where he was at. He literally was in the gutter when you first met him. I mean, he was a gutter drunk. And when I picked him up to take him to detox, He had peed all over himself. He smelled. He stunk. I took him to detox, and my experience is, as I'm going to take him to detox, and about 15 minutes later, he's probably going to walk out of detox and take off running. But he ended up going through detox and went through a good recovery program and everything else. And so he was an individual who was really messed up that started doing really good.
So over the months, you know, he was really doing good until probably almost a year later. He started to think probably that, well, I've arrived, you know, quote unquote, I've arrived, because he was starting to get prideful. And so he started saying that, you know, since he had his own apartment already, so started like disobeying the counsel that we had for him. Like one day, you know, we noticed that he was he was into relationships with the opposite sex, and we told him that it wasn't time for him to build a relationship with the opposite sex because he wasn't mature enough to handle such type of relationship. And so, you know, he just said, no, I'm okay, I'm good, and I'm doing well, and I know much better than I was before. And then later on, he said, well, I know the Bible, and I'm even better than you, Pastor Rich. And later on, he said he was the prophet of God, you know, sent by God to correct you. And I said, hey, wait a minute. We are here counseling and helping you out, and you are the addict, and now you're the prophet of God. So,
well, and he was such a prophet that he told you that you should divorce me, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He said one time, he said, well, I think you need to divorce your husband because he's this and that and this and that. So, but the key was he was starting to disobey or rebel against godly counsel, and that started his downfall. You know, he went back to where he started.
And it was an attitude that he just wasn't thankful. You know, we're not talking about when we share these things that people are to worship us and to set us on a pedestal. To me, for myself personally, that I just believe God's called us to love people and love them just invariably, whatever they may do, we just love on them. And I just believe that's what God's called us to do. That's what Jesus did in my life. I mean, he loved me in spite of me, and I believe that's what we need to do is love people in spite of them. But what happened is he ultimately just was rejecting godly counsel. He got an attitude that he wasn't thankful anymore, that he'd arrived. Ultimately what happened is we had a prostitute who we were helping, and she was getting off of heroin. She was doing good. Next thing you know, he thinks he needs to be in a relationship with her, and ultimately both of them relapse, and she ultimately died of kidney disease or liver disease or something like that. And that's the sad part. Now, I want to share something with you. As we share this story, maybe it's you're hearing yourself. You're saying, man, I do some of these same things. Here's the danger if you hear this. You are going to probably go then into shame and guilt. Almost invariably what happens is you start looking at yourself, you look at the mistakes you've made, you realize that maybe some of the things we're talking about you have in your life, you start feeling the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, and there's a danger in that. And we're going to be talking here in just a moment, because the next thing that I believe that can happen in an individual's life is they can get into self-condemnation. And that's another stepping stone to a relapse if you start beating yourself up. And so I want to encourage you, hang on there. Don't get discouraged. Realize that we're going to give you hope. This is a show of hope. And after break, we'll talk about self-condemnation and how you can get out of that. Give us a call, 1-800-955-8200.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Dover on 820 AM KGNW. Are you looking for a clean and sober living arrangement without the drama? How about clean and sober housing that actually does not have alcohol and drugs? You know what we mean. Can you use some help in your recovery? A place where people care about you more than just collecting rent payments? If so, Fairhaven House may be the place for you. Fairhaven House is a faith-based, clean and sober housing and discipleship program. Check them out at fairhavenhouse.info. That's fairhavenhouse.info. The Center has offered hope and healing for over 26 years. Discover freedom from anxiety and depression, from binge eating and other food struggles. Find peace in place of fear. Have a life without secret addictions. The Center features individualized whole person care. Click on aplaceofhope.com for more information or for a no-cost consultation, call the Center toll-free, 888-771-5166. That's 888-771-5166.
If you're struggling with addictions or other issues in your life, or you want to get closer with God, Victory Life Center encourages you to attend their upcoming Encounter with God seminar. Many lives have been touched in a dramatic way at an Encounter with God seminar. If you feel like you're hitting a brick wall in your spiritual walk, you may need an Encounter with God. The next Encounter with God seminar is Friday, April 23rd and Saturday, April 24th. For the details, go to vlifecenter.org. That's vlifecenter.org. Or call Victory Life Center at 253-867-0852. The number is 253-867-0852. Don't miss out. Learn all the details at vlifecenter.org.
Welcome back to There Is Hope. Well, that spot wasn't the right spot. Actually, it's supposed to be July. I believe it's July 24th, 25th. I'm not sure now. Is the third. Yeah, it'd be the
third week of July.
We'll have to get back with you on that. Man, we're doing real good here. The guy that has to be perfect has bad spots and everything else. I don't know. I'm about ready to relapse. You know, this is kind of funny. If you can't laugh at mistakes, then probably you're taking life too serious, because I just look at my notes here, and the next thing we're going to talk about is self-condemnation, and I'm going to share my story. I'm going to share my story about low self-esteem, guilt, shame, condemnation, not performing good enough. And so here we go. God has a sense of humor. He wants to take me to a place to keep me humble and not get pride myself. I just amazed how God works sometimes. Somebody's going to think we tried to plan it this way, and we didn't plan it this way whatsoever. By the way, if you want to give us a call at 1-800-955-8200. Come on, somebody give a call right now. I need somebody to say they're messed up too, just like me. Anyways, give us a call, 1-800-955-8200. Our locally is 206-374-8800. That local number is 206-374-8800. Well, there's another mindset that can trigger relapse, and that mindset is the concept of, I have low self-esteem, I have guilt, I have shame, I have condemnation, I'm not of no value, I'm not good to anyone else, I'm just a miserable creep, I'm just a loser. It goes on and on and on. For somebody that deals with that, I don't have to repeat it. You already hear that tape over and over and over and over again. And here's what self-condemnation does. It leads to hopelessness. And the reality is, a person who's hopeless will probably make bad choices. And the sad thing for somebody that's dealing with addiction is that bad choices most likely means they're going to go back into their addiction. Now you say, well, why would they do that? If they already feel guilty and bad about all the mistakes they've made, why would they go to their addiction? Well, it's simple to understand if you have any kind of addiction in your life, is because then if you go back into your addiction, hopefully you can bury that feeling of guilt and shame and condemnation. That's the lie you believe anyways, is that if I just go ahead and get back to whatever it may be, you know, if I just overeat, you know, for myself, ice cream. I love ice cream. My wife will testify that if I have an addiction, it could be ice cream. So we just don't keep ice cream in the house, because I really could eat a half a gallon of ice cream in one setting. And so if I'm feeling bad tonight, I could go home and I could tell myself I deserve a half gallon of ice cream. The way this show went, I deserve a half gallon of ice cream. But instead, I choose to make a different choice, because I don't walk in condemnation, shame, and guilt. So what I'm going to do is, we have a caller on the line, so we're going to go ahead and jump to that caller. So we have Keith from Seattle.
Hi, pastors. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I heard your testimony about cleaning up some drug dealer, or the prostitute and the alcoholic, and I myself have experienced that. And I just want to give my support to you guys and my prayers, because I went through that. I even I took in three homeless youth at one time, and they ended up getting cleaned up a lot. One was a crack addict, you know, $1,000 a day crack addict. And I just know that I became emotionally drained over about 2 to 3 year time mm-hmm. frame, helping them out. And there's just so much that goes in, you know, that's involved in their lives. And I just know you really have to be led by the Spirit of God to do that type of ministry.
Yeah, or you get overwhelmed. You get burned out. Here's what will happen. You either get burned out or you can get bitter.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yep.
You...
And it's, yeah, a lot of it, I have to admit, it became almost religious in my life to some degree, because I almost took their lives as a purpose for mine instead of my walk with Christ. And so it almost turned, it was originally a God ordained ministry. I really truly believe that. However, I believe that my flesh got in the way in the midst of the Spirit of God.
Now in the midst of that, what do you think for you, you know, quote, a relapse, you know, not necessarily a relapse for you, but what do you think was some of the triggers that you got to that point?
I think I actually remember telling this one time to one of the guys, there was two guys and one girl, and I just remember telling one time that I need time alone with Jesus, but they were so demanding on me, and I ended up, you know, putting Jesus to the side, if you will,
right,
and going and ministering to them, and I felt like I had that excuse to give up my free time, you know, that I have to spend time with the Lord to get filled up by the Spirit of God in order to give out. And that was one thing that I so sorely lacked. And, you know, because I was a good 2 to 3 hour a day praying Christian, and then it went back down to like 20 to 30 minutes, and that wasn't enough for me and my, you know, what God has called me to do. So I actually, you know, got out of it. I ended up losing everything, and my house was destroyed. I ended up getting sued because it was one of those rent-to-own houses, and because two of the youth ended up having a party one time when I was gone, and my house was destroyed, and I ended up getting sued by the landlord, of course. But and I was obviously the breadwinner of the house, but I ended up moving to the streets instead of, if you can't beat them, you might as well join them.
Yeah.
And God called me to homeless ministry, so I ended up moving to the streets as a minister and just doing Bible studies on the streets and living under a bridge with people for about 9 months. But I just know that God calls everybody, you know, to different ministries. And if God does have a ministry for anybody out there that has a heart for that, just to pray and to fast and to not move by the flesh. You know, get godly counsel and really know that you are hearing from the Spirit of God and not just yourself.
You know, I appreciate you sharing that, and it obviously comes a lot better coming from you with your own experience than us saying it, because you're talking out of experience. And I can say that there is a danger when you really have a passion for the lost, mm-hmm. you have a passion for the hurting,
yes.
that we take on many times more than we should. And
yes.
I say the reminder to me is Jesus. He's the example. Now, as much love as I may have for these people, my God loves them a whole lot more.
Yep.
He loves them a whole lot more, and he loved me a whole lot more than anybody could possibly love me. And what I learned out of it is that, what did Jesus do? He still took time. He still took time to be up in the mountain, to be alone with his Father. He spent time in prayer. The other thing is, he didn't heal everybody.
Uh-huh.
There's times, and when the crowd started chasing him, he'd go, say, okay, take the boat, go away. I'm going to go some other path. He learned that he needed to take care of himself, too.
Amen. And there's the parable of the four soils, too, that comes to mind. And not all fall on good soil, you know. So I really have to just, I don't know, there's so much I could say for what you guys are doing, and I'm so grateful for it, for this type of ministry. But my heart just goes out to you, and being, you know, slandered, if you will, by that one guy who is trying to get,
Hey, it's not a big deal. We've been slandered more than once. So.
Right. And I just think about Jesus. He was slandered. He was called Satan, you know.
Yeah, that's that. You know what? Honestly, a lot of this stuff, I just look back and see with Jesus, how Jesus was the example. You know, they're going to slander me. Who am I? I'm Joe Schmo. They slandered the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, you know, the Creator. They slander. And he just said, oh, well, you know, walks away, ministers again, and, you know. To really have that attitude is, I'm not better than Jesus, so why am I going to get offended about? And here's the reality. All of us have said stuff we wish we didn't say. When we're hurt, when we're wounded, when we're all messed up, we say things we always wish we didn't say. And so, you know, that's a pretty easy one for, you know, it's a little harder for my wife. I think she's a little more sensitive than me. I have a kind of a theory, and that's that I've learned how to have thick skin and a soft heart. And I think when you do this kind of ministry, you have to learn how to have thick skin where things will just bounce off of you, but keep your heart soft.
Amen. And, you know, I have to just jump on that, too. The soft heart comes from one place, on our knees in with Jesus.
Because, that's true.
And that's one thing that I've noticed, that if I am not on my knees praying and seeking the face of God for Him to soften my heart, I go in with a critical spirit. I go in with, you know, almost like a calloused heart sometimes, and I almost want to just be the Pharisee that just says, do this and get right, instead of just
You're talking my story. my story is I was going to be a cop and lock everybody up, so needless to say, 30 years later, I still have to be careful that I don't get that mindset. You know, if you're not going to work with me, then I'll just get you locked up. And, of course, I don't think that's necessary.
Well, the Lord has just had so much mercy on my life. And, man, all the times that I've fallen and failed God, it's like, man, I must, you know, there must be that love of God that supersedes my love, that I wouldn't be able to share it. Love with others,
amen.
But thank you for having me on the air. And where's your church at, located?
It's called Victory Life Center, and it's over in Kent and 212th and 84th Avenue.
Right, well, I will definitely stop by and worship with you guys.
All right, that'd be great.
Thanks for having me. All right, God bless.
Thank you, Keith. Right.
Bye.
I'll be praying for you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, that was a great call. You know, I really appreciate calls like that. That's always nice to have individuals to call. And a lot of times somebody calls up and they share their stories, kind of confirming what we've been talking about and where our own heart is at. What I want to do, we don't have much more time in the broadcast, and I want to give some hope. We're talking about how you can relapse. You can relapse by walking in denial. You can relapse by turning around and not having a heart of gratitude. And you can relapse by self-condemnation and the guilt and the shame. And, of course, there's many other areas that we just don't have the time to talk about. And I just want to, as we're going to be going off the air here shortly, I want to be able to share something with you. And that's that there is hope. There is a way out of this mess called addiction. There is a way to be able to walk in victory. And I want you to know we have many of the stories of individuals whose lives have been changed. Some, it's been a hard journey. It's been a tough journey. For some, they've been up and down many times. They've had many relapses, but they're walking in victory now. Others, it's just been amazing. You know, we have individuals, and we've had them on the air before, and we have others that will share, where miraculously God set them free immediately from addiction. You know, we have one lady that's been 2 years of being drug and alcohol free. Her life has just changed dramatically. And I believe the only difference between her and many others is because there's one thing she did. She made a choice that when she accepted Jesus into her life, she was going to truly make Him the Lord of her life. And she's humble enough to get counsel, to get advice, to learn how to do that. Because if we're all honest, how do we know how to make Jesus the Lord of our life? We've been serving the devil with years and years in our life. How do we do that? Well, that takes some counsel. It takes some prayer. It takes spending time in the Word. It takes just being humble and allowing God to work in your life. And so what I want to do is I want Carmen to go ahead and pray for our audience that maybe you're struggling right now and you need some hope. And Carmen, what I want you to do is I want you to share some hope with our audience right now.
Before I do that, I'll make a short plea and, beg to our audience, those who are recovering, or those who are addicted or still addicted and recovering from addiction or alcohol and some other stuff. I plead of you, Please, if there are godly people in your lives, listen to their counsel, because they are giving you free counsel, and that they're giving up their life, their time, their effort for you guys because of the love of Jesus that is in their heart. And out of it is their love for you in return. So please, if there are godly people in your lives, there's a pastor, there's a counselor in your life, obey the counsel that they have for you, because that is basically for your own good. And they have made sacrifices and sacrifices. So accept those sacrifices. Be grateful for what they're doing in your lives. And I know your life will be fruitful. So I'll pray for you now, Heavenly Father. I lift up to you every listener we have right now. I pray for every individual, especially those that are addicted, those are bound in alcohol and some other issues in their life, that you will penetrate to the core of their hearts, that your Holy Spirit will tag in their hearts, oh God, that you will give them a mighty, mighty convicting power of your Holy Spirit. You will release the anointing that breaks every yoke in the name of Jesus, that you are going to set them free, Lord. I pray that you will create in them a hunger, a thirst for righteousness, a hunger and thirst for a changed life, oh God. So, Lord God, thank you for what you're going to do in their lives, for how you're going to free them from every addiction that they have, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carmi, for praying for our audience. Well, what we want to do is we're going to share a need that we have. I hate closing the show this way, but it's important that we do this. First, before we do that, I want to have Carmi, she's going to be available. If you would like to get prayer, maybe there's something you need prayer on, something, that Carmi is available to pray with you. We have a 24/7 toll-free prayer line. That line is a number that you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Almost all the time we answer it. We have other individuals that answer that line. If for some reason we're not available, you can leave a message, and we can turn around and be able to pray with you. But that toll-free number is 1-866-346-7186. That toll-free number again is 1-866-346-7186. And I'll give you one more time. Toll-free, 24/7. If you have questions about the ministry, you want to talk to us about the ministry, you want prayer, anything that has to do with There Is Hope, you can give us a call at 1-866-346-7186. Well, as we close tonight's show, there's something I need to share with you, and that's that, as you probably know, we don't do this for free, that this show costs us money. There's airtime that we have to pay for. Now, Carmi and I and the ministry Fairhaven House, we don't receive any kind of salary from Fairhaven House that sponsors There Is Hope Radio. There Is Hope Radio doesn't give us any kind of a salary. We have just have a commitment to be able to share the love of God and encourage individuals and give them hope. And we don't believe that there should be a stipulation of us receiving a salary to be able to do that. But even though we don't receive a salary, we have airtime cost. And here's a reality that I need to share with our listeners, is that on the month of June, as of now, we're $300 short in funds. That we've been having sponsors that help pay for us to be on the air. We have individuals to help put us on the air. But this month, as of now, we're short $300 in funds, and there'll be a point where we will have to go off the air unless those funds come in. And we just would like you to consider, if we're have help to you, if we're an encouragement to you, as you listen to us, would you consider giving a donation? If you've been listening to us for the last couple of months, you notice I don't ask for money. I don't plead for money. I just believe God supplies. But at the same time, I believe there's times that we need to share the need. So if you can give $10, $25, whatever it may be, would you please consider doing that? You can do that by going to our website, thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org. There will be a link on that site where you can contribute to this site. Maybe you're not able to give financially. There's other ways you can support this radio show. So go to thereishoperadio.org for more details. I want to let you know there is hope. Whether you donate or not, there is hope. There is the ability to get victory over whatever the addiction is, whatever the struggle is. I want to encourage you, get the help that you need. Go to our website. There's information on detox centers. There's information on treatment centers. There's our recovery forum where you can share what you're going through. You can get prayer online also. If you don't feel comfortable praying over the phone, that we can certainly have you put in a prayer request on our website. So as you go to sleep tonight, I want you to remember there is hope. I want you to know that you do not have to live in shame and guilt and condemnation, that you can live a victorious life, you can be an overcomer, and I do believe Jesus is the answer for that. How about let him be the Lord of your life tonight? Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the preceding program were not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.